that moment, the moment that you hit record,
yep,
things switch over. It's a very interesting transition for me because I feel like that's when something's going to explode from one computer or the other.
So back it up. Let's, and this is something that often in the on-ramp, I don't know if we've given any space to, in trying to figure out how to use Skype, how to sort of use this interface. We have got to a space where you do it on your own now, but initially I started saying safe hands, like just don't touch anything. Like we're almost mythologizing this tool. Like somehow we have to give it, we're really tender with the tool.
Yes, we are.
Become very tender. Probably it's got tech fragility. So we're sort of like wondering whether or not it's going to work this time. So I've started saying the safe hands. Sometimes you sort of put up the safe hands. We're not touching anything. Go ahead, cluff, hit record. And then we go into this transition. On my end, I like that you pointed out, on my end, like my screen almost, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, you know, countless sci-fi speculative fiction movies where they say, you know, we're going to have to reboot the computer in order to, like, you know, stop the robots or whatever. And then there's like this hang time as you're in that cycling mode. Like, is it really going to work? Will the reboot actually work? Yeah, my screen kind of goes all strange and pixelated.
Mine did the same thing. And I'm like, this is it. Like, this is where we're either podcasting using Skype today, mm-hmm, or we're not.
Mm-hmm. I like the, then again, I put it into the movie mode, and it's usually in those few seconds of hang time where, you know, you're having to fend off some attack from aliens or something, right? While the formula is rebooting. And just at the penultimate moment of the story, you know, it kicks back in and we're good again. So I feel the same way.
I got to drop something that was really weird this week.
Okay.
So I was on Ramona's podcast.
I saw that.
And sorry, give me a second. The name of her. Oh, I Wish I Knew EDU. And it was a really good conversation we had. And I appreciated the fact that she wanted to talk to me, like, about podcasting, about certain blog posts I've written, about how I got into EDU. And I listened to it the other day, and it was interesting to listen to me talk about my story. It was really weird, actually. It was interesting and weird because it brought back a lot of memories about the things I said and the points that have led me to where I am today. And another thing, so I just wanted to throw that at you because it was weird. And I was humbled, I think, at her style. She just asked me a question. She just let me talk. Like, at some points, as I was listening to myself, I was like, okay, period, end. And I wouldn't stop. I just kept going, and she wouldn't stop me. She just let me talk. And I was compelled to tweet out and just thank her for letting me talk. And then listening to it was the ultimate, like, Twilight Zone experience. I literally was, and I found myself listening to it in three different places. It started at home, then it was on the ride to work, and then it was back at home. And it was just surreal to just sit there and listen. What was surreal was attaching the memories and the experiences that I've had to the words that were coming out of my mouth and going straight into my brain. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but it was wild. And I like her style. And I don't think I've ever paid attention to her style before until I heard myself and kept telling myself, okay, stop. Okay, stop. And I wouldn't stop. I just kept talking and she would not stop me. That was cool.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I got to do a chat with her. I've chatted with her through DMs as well. And definitely easy to talk to. Easy to talk to. You realize there's sort of two spaces there. The easy to talk to is partially what your chatting partner brings to the table, kind of like, but I've been around people that are kind of relaxed and chill, and I haven't felt compelled to talk. So there's sort of like two sides to that vibe, right? Like the person sort of opens up the conversation well, they're sort of open to sharing in whatever dialogue is being offered. But there's also something about her flow that makes, that has made me feel energized, like wanting to share a story, wanting to share a conversation. So that's cool. I haven't listened to it.
Don't waste your time, bro. You already, it's free on the internet. You already know everything about me. So you don't need to, I mean, unless you want to support her podcast. No,
I totally do. But I like that though. Like, can I pull that apart a little bit? So in saying that, in sort of, that sort of makes me think a couple of things. One, you just felt like you're having a really natural conversation then. Like if you felt like you're able to sort of like speak to the things that you're doing, then it kind of came out just on a different platform. But that also raises an interesting question. You know, I didn't get a chance. I saw the hashtag, the PD for you and me, that chat. So I'm always kind of trying to figure out the pathology of doing public speaking like this and trying to figure out different angles that kind of justify why, not justify, it's a bad way to put it, but sort of different angles that kind of support the why for doing podcasting. And let's just say, you know, in public reflective practice. And I have been in conversations before where someone has asked me to be on a podcast and I've asked them, you know, why me? What questions are you asking that you think I'm going to have answers for? So, you know, how do I sort of fit within your sort of podcast
model?
Yeah, the podcast model. And sometimes the answer has kind of swung back to, well, I just want to have a conversation with you. I think it'd be interesting to have a conversation. And sometimes I push harder. I'm like, about what? You know, like what sort of topic? And these are all sort of DM conversations. Sometimes we're talking on the phone. Because part of the thing that runs through my head when I'm not in conversation like you and I, like when we do these meetups on the weekends, is that I am kind of aware of whether or not I need to be taking up any more digital space on a platform. Like if, you know, it's almost sometimes I have thoughts, tons of thoughts about education and my life in education and all the me stuff. So I like to sometimes, like there was one person that asked for me to be on the podcast and I said, what is it that you want to talk about? And they gave the topics. I said, you really should be talking to this person instead. Like just kind of like the redirect and say, talk to this person instead. If that's where you're sort of looking to have a conversation, I find myself more resistant to going on a podcast. One, because in some ways, like going on podcasts apart from the Saturday meetup with you and I, it's not resistance, not the same thing. Maybe it's just that I'm sort of looking for a new conversation within it. And I don't want the conversation to be my reflective practice again. Like if someone hits me up with some solid questions that I'm kind of rattled by, I'm like, oh man, yeah, I think I need to think about that one. I'm totally down with, I'll work that one out in public. Like I can bring that, I'll do that. But finding a new space to talk about EDU, I don't know if I'm not doing a great job of finding new conversations right now. Maybe that's what it comes down to. I feel like I'm always talking about the same stuff. Or people are bringing the same conversations to me all the time. Like people are asking me the same questions. I don't know if that's a me thing and a community thing, I guess.
I hear what you're saying.
That's what I dig about the Saturdays, is that I actually don't know what we're going to talk about. I got to be honest. Like, that's what kind of lifts my brain, like, just kind of like pops it right out of my head. And then we just start kind of going for it. Like, that there's a certain amount of, I like that, because it's, I feel like I'm simultaneously, I haven't even started to draw anything yet. I should do something. I like the fact that I don't necessarily know what we're going to do.
I enjoy that too. Like, I think, and what's funny is over time, even the on-ramp is not telling of what we're going to talk about. Like, we could talk about some stuff on the on-ramp and think that, okay, we'll just transition it into the podcast, and we don't, which is pretty, that's cool as well. It's like, no, that belongs there. This belongs here. And let's just go with it. Speaking of that, I want to say, you said something just now that a lot of people say that's got me a little irked recently. You said, I've got to be honest. You know how people, you'll be talking about something like, hold on, let me be honest here. Which has led me to think, like, okay, so if you have to tell me that you're being honest about something, then what's going on with everything else we talk about?
As in between you and I?
No, like, as in just in general. Like, if I'm having a chat with somebody and we're talking about, I don't know, assessment and evaluation, they're like, oh, I got to be honest with you. And then they talk about, like, I don't really da-da-da-da-da well. Aren't you always being relatively honest with me? Or are you spending more of your time being dishonest with me? It's just something I was thinking about the other day when it came up. Especially people say it in large groups, and it irks me. Like, you'll be in like a session with like 10 people and somebody's like, let me be honest. Well, first of all, whatever you decide you're going to be honest about.
No one was stopping you from being honest.
And then have you not been being honest this whole time? Now, I don't mean that in a, like, trust me, I'm not throwing stones because I lie like everybody else. I do. Everybody does. But I don't think I walk around telling lies, like, for the majority of the time. I think I'm pretty honest, except, like, oh, man, this is tricky. It's even I'm feeling tricked out by it, but I don't like the saying. Like, I'm not walking around lying to everybody all day. So that when people say, let me be honest for a moment, is that because they're literally carving out 2 minutes of their lifetime at that moment to tell you the truth, and then everything else is not the truth? Like, I don't get it. I know it's a saying. I don't like it, though. I don't like it anymore.
The way I receive it is that what is about to be said may offend me, or I may perceive it as offensive.
And here we go now with, you know, people being offended all the time.
But that's why, and I think that it's, or I take it a couple different ways.
Let me be offensive for a moment, please.
Yeah, what I'm about to say, you may perceive as offensive. That's one statement. Please allow me to be brave for one moment. Or the final one, and this one, you know, kind of pops. You're wrong, and you need to listen to my experience right now. So, yeah, I got to be honest. So it's like a counter. It's a permission. It's like an apology. You're going to have trouble deal. It's a trigger warning. I got to be honest.
I like courageous. I'm going to be courageous for a minute, because isn't courage doing something in the face of fear and knowing, like, it's dangerous, but you're going to do it anyway?
I haven't read the Brené chapter yet. I don't know.
Oh, I'm not even talking Brené. I'm talking, like, just the definition of courage. Like, you still feel fear. You're still scared, but you are going to do something anyway. And so, you know, I might like that. Hey, I'm going to be courageous here for a second, because I know I'm going to get pushed back, or you're going to disagree with me, or you might say something mean to me, or you're not going to like me anymore, but I'm doing it anyway. Rather than, hey, let me be honest. I like courage, because this honesty thing, and it's just me. I know nobody else is walking around thinking this, but let me be courageous for a moment.
It's, you know what though, I'm gonna think other people have been thinking this. I can remember at a staff meeting, and there was a colleague of mine that said that all the time.
Let me be honest.
You know, apologize ahead of time for this. Oh. Like that's what they would say. And at the time, I'm like, what do you like? It just struck me as kind of a strange turn of phrase. Like everything was polished on the front end to be palatable. And often it was associated with topics that could be contentious and potentially like triggering to people. Like it's going to get people sort of bouncing off the idea, which in conversation I've always thought is a pretty good factor, like to get people chatting. But yeah, this colleague always prefaced the, I may be wrong, but, you know, that phrase too. I think that kind of sits in the same schema of statements. Forgive me for saying this. I may be wrong. I got to be honest. These sort of outward declarations of
outward declarations. That's the title of our podcast today.
Outward declarations.
And I declare right now that I'm going to try to use different outward declarations from now on. I'm not going to do the I'm honest thing, because if I am and if I do, then I'm going to use the opposite. I'm going to be dishonest here for a second. I'm going to do that. That's my homework for this week. I'm going to start a conversation with.
I got to lie to you right now. I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it. I got to be dishonest with you right now. Let me be dishonest with you right now for a second.
But I almost
feel I really like your shoes.
I almost feel like you have to qualify too. Right? Like, how do you set that contest? I'm not setting it.
I'm just going to do it.
You're just going to drop that in the conversation.
One of my colleagues says something to me this week or asks me a question. I'm going to stop and I'm going to think about it. I'm going to be like, I got to be dishonest with you for a second here. And then tell them the complete opposite of what I would normally say. I'm going to do it because I'm sick and tired of these outward declarations. I might be wrong here, but let me. I like it better to say, I'm going to say something and I don't know how you're going to take it. That one's cool. I'm going to say something here. I don't know what you're going to do with this, but I'm saying it. And I'm feeling courageous.
I'm saying it.
I'm scared. I'm going to say it. My heart is pounding 8 million miles a second. I'm saying this.
You got a chance to walk away, but I'm going to say it.
And I got to connect this back. I got to connect this back with something I said on Ramona's podcast. When we talked I wrote a blog post about wanting to quit an AQ course that I was taking. And I set myself up with a couple of strategies to help me stay away from quitting for as long as I could, or as long as I wanted to, I guess. And it just brought me to, it's connecting totally with what we're talking about right now. It's something, there are things that we go through all the time that are common. Like, people are doing stuff all the time that they don't want to do. Some of it's minor, some of it's major, and you find a way to push through, and sometimes you don't find a way to push through. And it's one of these situations where you feel like you have, in my situation, I felt like I had to act. I had to do something so that if I truly were going to fail, I wanted to quit because I didn't know what to do. So instead of quitting because I didn't know what to do, maybe I quit even after I did something so then I could walk away feeling or believing that I gave the situation something rather than nothing and still quit. I'm feeling like the outward declarations, I need to do something because I can't walk away from people when they want to talk to me, when I want to talk to them. And I say that, and you might think it's a joke, but it's not, because I've been operating that way for several years now, where I don't want to say certain things to certain people, so I just don't go there. I got a great example. There are people at work, I got nothing to say to them. So I'm not going to go and sit beside them at a staff meeting. I mean, unless I'm feeling a little bit, I'm feeling like I want to take a risk, you know, but I've been removing myself from a lot of situations for the last couple of years, digitally, in real life, like mentally avoiding things or just putting them aside and saying, I'm not dealing with that. I don't want to deal with that because of, you know, outward declarations is one part of it. Another part of it is I'm not ready to give this. I'm not ready to be courageous in this situation at this moment in time. And I find like these days I'm picking and choosing where I'm going to be courageous. So, you know, this week, last week, my students and I started doing some esports stuff and I blogged about it because I'm feeling like I want to enter that realm. I'm feeling like I want to entertain this idea, this concept that I'm going to use with my students and that they seem to have bought into. And I'm willing to put out my thoughts and my experiences so that I'm being courageous. I'm open to what might come my way because of it. You know, there's a lot of things people do and they're not feeling courageous. They do not want to put out anything about it because they don't want to have to deal with what might come back at them. Which brings me to my next point. Yesterday, the weirdest things, I'm like tying my shoe. And I had this thought as I was tying my shoe about why I vlog or why I have vlogged. And here's the answer to the question. I got to be honest with you. Here's the answer to the question.
I give you permission to be honest.
Thank you. But don't worry, before the end of this conversation, I will drop the let me be dishonest with you for a second here. I'm tying my shoe. Again, I believe it's connected to listening to what I said on Ramona's podcast. I don't think I have anything in particular that's interesting to say or to share with people. I think that the draw for me to the vlog was the fear of doing it. And what I'm trying to invest more time in these days is doing things that are really causing me fear in order to like callous my mind, as Goggins would say, in order to deal with other situations that will come my way that will leave me scared, but that I will act rather than not act. So I see it as like it's a bit of a game for me because I hope that I'm building myself up to deal with things that come to me in the future that I'm going to need courage for that I really don't want to deal with. And so in a gaming kind of way, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to do this. And people are going to ask me why I'm doing it. And I've got a number of different responses for them. None of them are dishonest. Like, they all have their place. Like, you know, to learn how to use the tech, to share my ideas, even though, like, I don't think my ideas are that great, but to share the ideas or to share what I'm currently thinking at a moment in time and to archive it. Because I do use those things for my growth. But I think at the bottom of all that, I think the underlying layer of it all is that it scares the crap out of me. It's very scary. But if I can get through that and it's scary, then hopefully I can get through other things that are scary. And this applies to like my work, my family life, my friendships. And I think I'm getting a rise out of it. Like, I think it's doing something for me. Now, trust me, there are things that scare me that I still won't go near and I won't touch. So it's like I'm picking and choosing what fear I want to deal with. But the outward declarations, they set people up, right? So that they can deal with their fear because they're going to say something that is risky. Or at least that's how I perceive it. They're going to say something that the majority might not like.
See, I don't...
I don't agree with that, eh?
Well, I hear you because I know your context. I understand it because of also I know your process of, you know, let's say personal development and sort of working through your ideas of identity and fatherhood. And I mean, we've spent enough time in this conversation. I get how that would be. I understand how that's valuable to you. I think in the general sense, my reaction is that it's that's, you know, that statement, can I ask you a question? There's another one, right? Can I ask you a question? And
I would just prefer I'm going to ask you a question, Roland. Brace yourself.
I prefer just someone to ask me a question. Don't preface it. Just ask the question. I find there's a more, it's because the truth of it is I probably wouldn't even, so someone says, can I ask you a question? And then they ask the question. The moment that they say, can I ask you a question? I become suspicious of what, like more suspicious of the conversation. I'm less likely to be genuine and connected to what's about to happen. And that's a little bit like my response. That's my mental response. When someone says, I got to be honest, my brain does that. Because then it gives me a moment where I think to myself, why now? Or why not before? Or are you protecting me? Are you protecting yourself? Like all of a sudden, I just have this micro moment of infinite questions that pop up to, you know, why would you say something like that? It does not boost what you're about to say. If you said that to me, I don't think to myself, wow, that person's being really earnest. They want to be honest. That's cool. I appreciate that they're striving for honesty. I just kind of, again, I wrestle with it. So that I don't appreciate the space that statement gives me. Sorry, I got to say that. I don't appreciate it as positive.
So when you hear those, you're like, uh-oh, something negative is going to come my way or somebody's going to say something that's going to cause me discomfort?
I think that I take it on, I guess, on two sides. One, that it's kind of, I guess, disingenuous because it doesn't have them. It's like on Twitter when someone says, I had the honor of, or I was honored by, I'm like, it's just too diffused. I don't know if that's necessarily, it's become hyperbolic as opposed to a truth. It's just not it doesn't hold the power. As funny as after you called me on it, I realized that one of the things that I think in my brain was somehow that you might not believe that I'm being honest. And I need you to believe in me. There was that kind of moment.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because I appreciate what you're doing right now. That's interesting. It's very interesting, but I think, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you won't agree.
You're doing it again. See, gosh, we fall into this. So outward declarations, right? That's a good start, but there's got to be something.
I'd like to think that.
There's something pathological about this dude.
I'd like to think that if you said something to me and I really didn't buy it, I think I'd probably tell you I'm not buying it. I'd like to think. It depends on the context, I guess. But I think you and I have been pretty honest in general terms. Let me give you an example. So, you know, you've come to Waterloo Region. We've hung out. We've gone out and broken bread together and stuff. And one time you said, what would you do if I came to your house? And I'm like, don't do that. Like, we've had the conversation where I've not tiptoed around the roses. I've not said to you, oh, well, I've said, don't do it. If you come to my house, I will not answer the door. So if that's what you're looking for, come to my house. If you're looking to hang out on a Friday night and go for some burgers, then let's talk about, respect me enough to talk to me about it. But hey, if you want to pull up to my door and ring the doorbell, go nuts, buddy. Fill your boots. I'm not answering the door. It's simple, right? But can I say that to other people? Maybe, maybe not. It depends on the situation, depends on the context. You know, I don't want people coming to my house. It's, you know, here's a good one. Oh, you're going to love this. You're going to love this. The picture that was taken of me at school. And I know, okay, let me add some context for people who are listening. I had, today's Saturday, October 25th, I think, 26th, I don't know. Yesterday was Friday, and yesterday was a PD day for my school board. And as I was sitting during the PD session, the French teacher was sitting to my right, and she said to me, "Hey, Roland." And I turned and I looked at her, and she took a picture of me. And the look on my face says it all. There is part boredom, part like, please send me home. Like, it was just an interesting look on my face. It was not one of exhilaration. It was one of like defeat and a long day listening to information. Okay. So I'm like, "Oh, can I see it?" She showed it to me. I'm like, "I gotta have that picture. That's classic. I gotta have it." She goes, "Okay, here." She gives me her phone and she says, "Text it to yourself." I said, "Oh, I can't email it to myself." She said, "No, I don't have email set up. Text it to yourself." Do you know what that means, Clef? That means I have to put in my cell phone number into her phone so that I will get the picture. Nah, dude, not happening. I'm not giving you my cell phone number. Now, before everybody goes hog wild on my paranoia or whatever, it's not paranoia. This is my cell phone. I give out my number to the people that I'm okay to text me. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't want to communicate with the French teacher. It just means if you want to talk to me, send me an email. If we're friends on Facebook, send me a Facebook post, messenger, whatever. Tweet me. I'm not giving you my cell phone number. Now, I'm not assuming she's going to then start texting me every day or whatever. I just don't want to give her my cell phone number.
But
it was an awkward social moment, Clark.
Yeah.
Because there were several people watching, and she said it loud enough that like the five people around me were like, they heard her say, "Just text it to yourself." And you know what? I looked at her and I said, "Do you have email?" She goes, "No." I said, "I'm going to put your email in here because I'm going to email it to myself." So then she's like, "Okay." So then I went into her settings and I set up her school board email so she could email me. And I gave it back to her. And that was it. It was over. But it was interesting because these days, this is one form of communication. Texting is very big and people do it. But it requires me to give you something, my personal phone number, which I'm not prepared to do. I don't want to do that. And it's come up several times. People have said, "Well, just I'll take a picture of something." They're like, "Just text me." No. Why? Because then that means you have my cell phone number. And I'm sorry, I don't want to give out my cell phone number. And then they give you the look. They give you the look like you're a jerk look. Or
why? I got to be honest. Everybody is texting these days.
Let me be dishonest for a minute. I would love for you to have my cell phone number, but I'm not ready to give it to you. So it's just interesting moments, right? And what do you do? I was very courageous because I'm sure of those five people, maybe one or two feel the same as me, but they're not going to say it at that moment. They're not going to support me, back me up and be like, "I'm with Chidiac. I'm not giving out my cell number either." And let me tell you, I don't take offense. I don't care if you're not going to give me your cell phone number. And it's come up. It's actually happened on the hockey team. I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to give too much detail because nobody's listening to this anyway. But there was a situation where there was a parent and we were communicating via email and it was getting like, it wasn't fast enough. So I said, "Hey, do you want a text?" And I was wide open to giving my number to this person because of the context. The person wouldn't respond to me. So I knew, like, I'm not 100% dumb, people. I'm like, that person does not want me to have their cell number. Hey, that's cool. We'll just keep talking like this. That's just how it's going to be, right? And so I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. And it's just, it was an interesting social moment. Oh, just text it to yourself. No, I'm not doing that. And you're not coming to my house yet, Clough, because I'm not ready for that. So, let's go back to where this all started. If you say something, you said that to me and I didn't beat around the bush, because I think that our friendship is good enough, fluid enough, flexible enough to deal with that. And if not, then I'm going to have to bid you adieu and wish you well, because I'm not buckling at certain parts of this friendship or whatever you want to call it. I'm just not wanting to.
And, you know what? And I'll go down to our friendship, our rules. Like, that's what it comes down to. For me, that's where and this is where I'm jumping right through the, can I ask you a question? I got to be honest. I'm not going to be honest. I've come to truly understand, I guess, the value of our friendship by doing the work that supports the friendship. The things that I'm willing to do to support the friendship, I'm aware of, but that's my set of tools. Now, if I felt like somehow reciprocity is an interesting thing. If I have a very clear, absolute list of what I expect from you in the friendship, then it makes it a lot more difficult sometimes, I think, to sort of like build the friendship. You don't have to follow my rules for friendship. And the same way, I don't have to follow yours. Now, preemptively, the truth of it is that I've gone in for the hug, and I'd like to think that there's a slightly small threat of me showing up in Waterloo unannounced, because that's how I do friendship. I would not expect for you to comply with that somehow and say, oh, just because you show up. I think it would be far more fascinating a story if I did do the drop in and then we talked the next week. You're like, yeah, I was in the house the whole time. I wasn't coming out. Like, because I think there's some fascinating authenticity there. I don't know how it would feel. I might be cheesed, but I would be like, he's doing him and I'm doing me. In the same way, like that one time when we kind of found ourselves going to St. Jacob's. So we did that. We were there that day of the summer, and I just sent you like a text out of the blue, like, we're here. Do you want to drop in? You're like, no, I can't do it. And the iron in the big scheme of friendship, there's going to be other opportunities for us to get together. Probably in smaller scheme friendships, people would say, well, you got to do that. And if you don't comply, if you don't do it, then you're somehow sort of dissing the individual. I don't think you and I are building this thing like that. And the other part also is, there's people listening to like, are these guys even friends? Like, they're like talking, like, they're, you know what I mean? So, and we are. I do believe we are. I think that we're both sort of getting what we need. We've said before, and I'll say it here, I've said, I think you agreed, like, I would love the fact if we lived closer. Like, I think that would be cool to be able to see you more regularly, to hang out, to do whatever it is that we do. That's not our truth, though, right? That's not how.
It's funny you say that. I got two things for you there. The first one is, okay, so I'm going to talk about St. Jacob's and I want to talk about living closer. St. Jacob's, when you texted me and you said to me, hey, I'm at the market and we're going to be around for another, I don't know, hour. You want to pop in? We'll hang, you know, I'll get to see you or whatever. And I looked, I'm like, oh, cool. He's in St. Jacob's. And the first thing that I thought was, I'd love to hear the story of how he ended up, you know, 15 minutes from my house. That's an interesting story. But I'd never thought, oh, he was coming my way and he didn't let me know. I've done that before with friends. Oh, they've come all this way and they didn't let me know. And guess what? I feel like garbage after that. And then things are awkward with me and the other person after that. So what I'm trying to do, what I have done, I think, is I've let go of that. I've just let it go. There's a reason why they came and they didn't contact me or they didn't reach out before. There's a reason. And so you got to let some of that go, whether they like you, they don't like you. I mean, you go mad thinking about that stuff. And I think I have given a lot of time to going mad about stuff like that. So this is a really awesome situation that you bring up, because I didn't think, oh, he was coming my way and he didn't let me know. I didn't do that at all. what I thought was, oh, I can't wait to hear the story of how he ends up in St. Jacob's, knowing I live so close. That was my first thing. The second thing was, I'm actually going to look and see what's happening right now in my household. And you know what? I looked at the timeline. I looked at what was happening, and it wasn't going to be a good time for me to just get up and go. So I didn't. And I told you, yeah, I can't come. Like, there was not like, oh, well, let me this and let me that. It was, no, I'm not coming.
There was no rearranging. There was no.
No, there was no rearranging. Just like, I mean, I wasn't prepared to do that for you that day. Just like you weren't prepared possibly to message me 4 hours early and say, hey, guess what? I'm going to be in St. Jacob's. Come on over. Like, everybody's just living their life. So that was cool. The second thing is, it's funny that you talk about, you know, it'd be cool if you lived closer. I want to go see the Joker movie so bad. Mm-hmm. I'm dying and itching to go. I don't really have any friends that I'm willing to ask to go with me. So when you say that, I think, well, I think Clough would probably go see the Joker with me. But that's an interesting thing. Like, I would like to go alone, I guess, but there's so much going on. It's like, when do I carve out that time? And that would probably be like a 9 p.m. movie, which means I'm not sleeping, which means I'm going to pay for it the next day. And so what day do I pick to pay for me wanting to go see a movie? Like, it's ridiculous, the intricacies of the thinking process, like when it comes to something like that for me. But
adulting,
you know, it kind of stinks that you don't live closer, because I suspect you would go see it. Or you might say to me, hey, I want to go do this. You want to join me? And it's like, yeah, let's do that. Let's go do that. So I thought that was neat. Thanks for bringing that up. But I mean, the rules for friendship is, I think I'm okay with your rules and you seem to be okay with mine. Like, the last time I saw you, like you said, you gave me a hug and I didn't like any minute of it, but I didn't, you know, knock you over to the ground. I just let you do what you needed to do and I moved on.
Knock me down. That'd be awesome.
And it's funny, eh? There's like running jokes about my non-hugging ways. There's running jokes like, I'll tell you this one, then I got a punch out.
But okay.
Years ago, I was working at this school, and it was a tight-knit staff. It was a good group. I really liked them. I think they liked me. And there was an LTO, and the bell rang, and we went to the door to get our kids, and we were all lined up, and this LTO teacher, you know, we're all standing around, and she goes, I want to tell you guys something. And we're like, what? And she's like, I'm pregnant. I'm having a baby. And then instantly everybody goes in for the hug, right? And so one at a time, each one of the ladies hugs her. And the kids, like, the doors haven't opened yet for the kids to come in, but there was like five of us there. These four people go in for the hug, and I just stand there and I'm like, awesome, congratulations. And it was the funniest thing, because they're like, Roland's not going to hug you. He'll tell you congrats or whatever, but it was just funny, and it's been a running joke for years, because I'm like, I'm not touching you. I'm not hugging you. And as I tell my students, I'm not a hugger. I barely hug my family, so I'm not going to hug you. But I'll give you a high five. I'll give you a fist bump. That's me. That's how I operate. And I'm going to respect you for your ways of operating, and I'm hoping that you learn here, that you'll respect me. And this is how the world works. So one day they can grow up to be just like me, and they can say to their friends, yeah, you can come to my door, but I'm not answering the door.
Consent.
It's up to you then what you want to do with that. So the title for this podcast is going to be Outward Declarations. Let me be dishonest with you for a moment.
Okay.
Lay
your untruth on me, buddy.
I have not enjoyed this podcast episode at all.
I didn't either.
There you go.
And you know, I gotta apologize up front for telling you that. And I hope that I really do hope that you'll understand.
Can I ask you a question? Are you okay? Can I ask you a question? I'm gonna be honest.
I gotta be honest. I really do enjoy it when you ask me questions about questions.
Can we talk? Like, do you have time to talk?
Oh, you know, You know, I wish I did, but I do. I have time.
Are you sure? Because I really don't want to.
I gotta be honest. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
This type of chat.
You suck. That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
I gotta be honest. I'm totally gonna be listening for the, like, this is, you've queued me up on this. Like these listening to other people. I like the outward declarations. I almost want to make it more catchy though. Outward declarations.
Do what you want. Just don't do it on my time.
There we go. All right. Yeah. On that note.
Yesterday at the meeting, whole group meeting, there's like 50 of us. And the vice principal and the spec ed teacher are talking about a concept. Did you like it? Did you not like it? Somebody raises their hand and says, I got to be honest. And right away, I know. I'm like, this person is going to push back hard. And so I'm sitting there like looking.
But do they? That's the thing. I think that's what we're messing with. I don't believe that it's hard pushback.
Okay, the pushback was soft, but it was pushback. But I knew right away, the minute they said it, I got to be honest. It meant that they were about to say something that they believe was not going to be popular with the masses. True. That's when it happens.
It's the apology in advance. It's the, yeah, okay. Did it go anywhere?
No, people went, then other people started taking risks because this person took a risk. Fair enough.
Really? It actually created positive risk in the room?
Well, other people started saying, yeah, you know what? I don't really like this either, but I did it because I was told.
So they're...
Like, it was like, okay, I found somebody,
permission.
Her and I can get in trouble together after this meeting because I'm not going to be alone when I get in trouble, if I get in trouble for being honest. Like... Outward declarations. Okay, I do have to go.
All right. And
it was a good one. Thanks.
Yeah, great chat with you. Safe hands.
Safe hands. You turn this thing off before it breaks.